down here.
Okay, we're about to go live.
All right, I'm going to mute myself because my heater is about to kick on and it's a little loud.
So I have a question. As I sit here at home on Zoom and I'm having a little glass of wine, is that something I should keep off camera?
Hey, break that from the minutes, please.
Yes. Should it be below the table so it's not on camera? Like, that's actually a serious question.
I don't see it right now, but if you do this, then we'll be able to see it.
Okay. All right. Okay.
We're good. You can call the meeting in order.
Ready to go?
And they will let her in when she jumps on.
Okay, so I'm calling the meeting to order at 5:20 p.m. for the Library Advisory Committee. Ellen, are you taking notes tonight?
I can, yeah.
If you would, that would be awesome. Thank you.
Sure.
So last time we met, Yvonne took the minutes and Laura has provided them out. Has anyone had a chance to review those? And I see several people shaking their heads. Yes, any additions or corrections? Nope, then we just need a motion to accept the minutes.
Motion to accept the minutes.
So Melly has made the motion, Ellen, and Stormy has seconded. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Everyone's
aye.
Approving, any opposed? Okay, thank you, Yvonne, excellent job. The minutes have been accepted. Do you wanna go on to the librarian's report, Laura?
Yeah, just because I want to be respectful of everybody's time, and we all don't want to be here till 7 o'clock at night. So let's just keep moving. And then when Mary Kay comes in, then we'll turn it over to her, and then we'll pick up back where we left off. Does that sound okay?
Yep.
Okay. By the way, Happy New Year. I'm happy to see your beautiful faces. So let me pull this up. So do you guys have the librarian's report in front of you?
Yeah.
Okay, so one second, let me pull it up. Okay, so what I'm going to go through, some things that have happened since last time I saw you guys in November. It seems like such a long time ago. Catherine Hoover, who was our adult services librarian, has moved into our cataloging librarian position, which was vacated when Lillian Carranzi moved into the supervisor position. Okay, so our adult services... adult services and outreach librarian position has been posted. It's a full-time position, and it's going to close on January 17th at 5 p.m. I don't know how many people have applied or anything at this point, but I want to let you guys know that's posted, and applications are being accepted right now. And then our bilingual community resource specialist position, which is part-time, it's 20 hours, we had to repost. And we went through the first time, and unfortunately the candidate that we were working with didn't finish the writing prompt that we had asked. So we reposted that, and that position will close on January 15th at 5 p.m. So I kind of want to let you guys know about that. And I'm going to stop, and we'll pick this back up because Mary Kay is on. And I want to be respectful of her time, too. So Mary Kay, do you want to take it over from here so you can talk to them about the Lincoln County Library District? And for you guys who don't know who Mary Kay is, Mary Kay Dahlgreen is our Lincoln County Library District Director, and we're very lucky to have her here. She's awesome, and I love her.
I'm so sorry I'm late, Laura. I thought it started at 5:30, so I apologize for that.
No worries.
And that was my fault. So it's good to see some familiar faces and maybe some not so familiar faces. First of all, I want to thank you all for the work that you do for the Newport Public Library, because advisory boards and foundation boards and friends groups are the backbone of public libraries. So thank you so much for everything that you do. And I just want to give a little update on what's going on at the Lincoln County Library District, primarily because there is going to be an impact on the Newport Public Library. Actually, there's going to be an impact on all the libraries.
So just to give you a little background, the Lincoln County Library District is essentially everything in Lincoln County except for Yahats, Lincoln City, Newport, and Toledo. So everybody who is outside those city limits is a taxpayer and a voter for the Lincoln County Library District. Essentially what we do at the district is we purchase library services for our patrons, for Lincoln County Library District patrons. And so over the course of 30 years, the district was formed in 1988 by an order of the county commission. And over the course of the last 30 years, I guess maybe that's more, it's more than 30 years now, we have essentially reimbursed the local libraries, Lincoln City, Newport, Toledo, Waldport, and Siletz. We have reimbursed them so that they would provide services to all of our patrons, to the taxpayers of the district. So over the course of, and all of this, of course, started in 1988, so things have changed. And when the district started, there were really three libraries in the county. There was the Lincoln City, the Driftwood Library in Lincoln City, the Newport Public Library, and the Toledo Public Library. There was a small volunteer library in Waldport, and I don't think there was anything in Yahats, and there was a very small volunteer library in Siletz as well. So way back then, we started working with those three libraries so that we could provide library services for everybody in the Lincoln County Library District. We essentially reimbursed those libraries for providing services. And the way we did that, the funding formula that we used was based 65% on circulation and 35% based on expenditures. So over the course of all of that time, the board sometimes felt a little uncomfortable with the fact that Waldport and Siletz, well, Siletz not so much, but Waldport really was being double taxed because the city of Waldport has a library and the city supports that library, but everybody who lives in the city of Waldport also pays Lincoln County Library District taxes. Okay. And so the board, which is an elected board, they, in our most recent strategic plan, which we put together a couple years ago, one of the things that we wanted to do was to take a look at the funding model, and we also wanted to take a look at the contract, which hadn't been renewed since 2004. So we've been working on that, and recently the board went through a process to develop a new funding model. Probably the most important thing to know about the funding model is it will no longer be a reimbursement. It has the based on a variety of things, which I'll explain to you. The board has decided that it will be on an allocation rather than a reimbursement. So for libraries like Newport that have pretty high circulation to other libraries, it will have an impact on them. And it will also have the opposite impact on, for example, Waldport Public Library, because they will be getting more funding. A couple of the things, first of all, the board met over 4 months. They had public work sessions. The library directors were there. Laura was very good being there, and if she wasn't there, she would look at the videos, and she was very instrumental in providing information for the board, and so thank you, Laura, for that. And then Kirsten from Lincoln City was there. Sue was there. So we had a really good representation. Over the course of those four work sessions, in the first session, we reviewed the current model, the current funding model, And then we really, and we had hired consultants. So we had Ruth Metz, who is a retired librarian who has been consulting around the country for years. Erin McCusker, who is my counterpart at the Umatilla County Special Library District. And they had just, over the course of the last year, redone their funding formula as well. And then we also had included in the what I like to call the dream team, Summer Sears, who is an accounting consultant out of Bend. And she's worked very closely with special districts and with municipalities. So she was our numbers person. And so in the first meeting, we reviewed the current model, and then we looked at what the consultants really probed the board to find out what their values, principles, and the elements that they wanted included in this new funding model. And you'll notice I say model because it's really, we really have changed it. There's a formula within the model, but we've really changed the focus. And again, I think that's primarily from a reimbursement to an allocation. And one of the main reasons that's what the board did is because there was concern that while Newport is providing excellent, excellent service, there's no question about that, what was happening is that there wasn't the level of equity among all of the district residents because their libraries weren't being raised to the level of the Newport Library with kind of more money and more basically the rich got richer. And so session two was reviewing the funding model concepts and scenarios. Session three was to provide a definition of library services, and what we're calling library services are what the federal government, we do a statistical report for the federal government, and it lists, you know, like 1,000 different things, and those are library services. And then the State Library of Oregon and the Oregon Library Association have standards for public libraries. So those are the things that we're looking at in terms of library services. And so in our most recent session, which was session four in December, there was a comparison of two funding models that had different elements, but were both essentially, I mean, either one would have worked. The one is from the Umatilla County Special Library District, and that works really well for them because they have like 12 libraries, but they have 12 member libraries and one partner library. We have two member libraries and three partner libraries. And when I say member libraries, I mean Celeste and Waldport, who all pay taxes, and then our partner libraries are Lincoln City, Newport, and Toledo. So the consultants and myself provided the board with a recommendation that they adopt this funding formula and funding model. And one of the things that the board asked us to do was to figure out how we could mitigate the issue of reduced funding for the Lincoln City Library and for the Newport Library. So they agreed to phase it in over 3 years. So just quickly, I'd like to talk about a little bit about the objectives of the board, the values, and the funding model parameters. The basic objective for all of this was to decide on a fund use structure and methods that best align with the legislative intent and the purpose of the district. And you know, with government units, you always have to go back to the legislative intent. Well, why was this formed? And so the county commissioners wanted to provide library services for residents of the Lincoln County Library District. The board's responsibility is Lincoln County Library District residents. And so that really was the underpinning for everything that they did. So the board has fiduciary responsibility for providing library services to those residents. They wanted the service model and funding to be directed towards enabling equitable services to the residents of the district. And by equitable service, that they can go to any of the libraries and have the same level of service. They wanted the allocation of funds to be equitable and fair, equitable for the district residents and fair for our partner libraries, although I have a feeling that some of them may not feel that this is as fair as they might hope. And then an understanding should be built and sustained over time between the district administration and the funding recipients about the nature and the purpose of the board, the district, the board, and those funds. So what they wanted to have included in the model is they wanted it to be consistent with district formation legislative authority, which is provide library service, adequately fund centralized and district administrative functions to fund our objectives. And so we have, since the beginning of the district, 30% of our tax receipts go to administration of the district. So that's my staff. And also 20% is for administration, and then 10% is for shared services. And those, we have an interlibrary loan utility that we pay for at the district level. Another parameter is to enable the objectives of the board's strategic direction for library development, such as in the current and future strategic plan. So again, there's a really big focus on kind of raising everybody's boat providing the resources that we need to make sure that everybody can go to any library in Lincoln County and have the same level of service. It differentiates member jurisdictions from non-member. And so again, our members are Spilett and Waldport, and our partners are Lincoln City, Newport, and Waldport. They wanted it to be directed towards bringing the full range and standard of service to residents throughout the district service area. So essentially what happened was we suggested a funding formula to them that provides incentives for member library jurisdictions to grow local funding. So for example, if the city of Waldport, which the city of Waldport does, if they provide funding to the Waldport Public Library, they'll get an incentive for doing that. There'll be a percentage of the funding that will go to them. We wanted to provide a library as place allotment. And that's essentially, we know that it's important to have a library as a location. So 5% of the tax revenue would go towards that library of place incentive. And so all five of the libraries would get that incentive, because they have a building and they have staff and that sort of thing. And then we wanted to be based on clear, concrete, I love all of these words, clear, concrete, factual, impartial, and calculable numbers from reliable sources. And so what that led to was creating a per capita service area for each of the libraries based on zip code populations from the 2020 census. And they wanted it to be able to be applied consistently and administered routinely by the staff. Because of course, you know, the staff doesn't stay in one place forever. Well, sometimes they don't. And so it needed to be something that we could pass on to the next, you know, the next person and the next staff member. Because there's been a lot of kind of misunderstanding about what the district did. And then they wanted it to be tuned or changed to improve alignment of findings with the formula objectives and evolving circumstances. They acknowledge things change. And so there will be a review schedule built into the process and into the contract. So the adopted model provides 30% off the top for the district headquarters. it provides 1.4% for the member library's local revenue incentive. And the only library that gets that is Waldport, because Celeste does not support the city library. And then there's the 5% of the total revenue goes to the member and partner library's site base. So that's the library as place. And then the remainder of the tax revenue will be divided by per capita based on the zip codes. So, and just so you know, that is one of probably a gazillion ways we could have done service area. Service area population is notoriously slippery. So that was the approach that the board decided on. So what I'm doing now is I had a lovely meeting with Laura and Spencer this morning. Spencer, what's his last name?
Neville,
thank you. We had a really productive discussion this morning about kind of the ramifications for the city of Newport. Spencer had some suggestions and recommendations, which we will share with the board. And then Laura, just, you know, I think it's important that your board, your advisory board, be familiar with what's going on, because this is going to have, it will have an impact on all the libraries, but it will have, you know, either up or down. So we wanted to be sure that poor Laura didn't want her to have to try to explain all of this, because there's a lot of moving parts.
Yeah.
So my next step with this, I will be I've actually mentioned this to the Lincoln City Library Board, the Driftwood Library Board, in early December while we were still in the process. I hope to meet with the county board. Laura and I have talked about that. And then I'm trying to meet with the city managers of each of our partner and member libraries and their city council. And I have a meeting with the city council where Laura has put us on the agenda for the city council for February 22nd, because this will, and while all of this is going on, we're also going to be updating the contract again, which hasn't been changed since 2004. And so the timeline is that we will hopefully have all of the cities sign the contract by the end of June, so that we can start the 22-23 fiscal year. And then we start sending our funds out in December. And so it will be December of 22 when this new model would actually take effect.
That's a lot of information.
It is.
It really is.
I tried really hard to compress it, because one of the things I always tell Laura is, you know, just provide as much information as, you know, the smallest amount of information you can.
Right.
And as I'm talking about this, I'm going, oh my God, so much.
But that's because there's a lot to it, Mary Kay. There's a lot to it. And if you don't explain it, they're not going to understand it.
Yeah. So anyway, that's, you know, again, the district has an elected board, which is our policy, and they have adopted this model. But again, one of the things that they wanted cooked into it is the opportunity to revisit, because I think one of the things that was difficult for me when I started at the library district was that things had been going the same, and while it, you know, marriages that last 30 years or longer are usually good, contracts between government last 30 years are probably not a really great idea. So So anyway, so we're hoping to bake into it that there will be reviews on a regular basis.
Mary Kay?
Yeah, Karen.
This is Ellen. What do you think the I don't even know how to ask this, but it's sounding to me like this is going to be a reduction in revenue for the library and the city. What do you estimate that to be?
At this point, my board has agreed that we would implement it over 3 years. So it probably the first year it would probably be close to $30,000. The other thing that we need to take into consideration is that the tax revenue goes up every year. And so some of that, as we fold it in over 3 years, some of that is going to be mitigated by the increase in the revenue.
Okay. So standing here, what do you estimate for those 3 years, the loss? Or can you not do that because of the increase in revenue?
I can't with any accuracy. What I think that I'm more comfortable just saying that I probably the first year would be about 30,000.
Ellen, I think it's important for us to know that is going to ramp up a lot. So even if Mary Kay can't give us an exact amount, it's going to be a lot more at the end of the 3 years, at least the figures I've heard. I think we need to know what we're up against. So I think we need to know the end figure, even ballpark.
Mm-hmm. So what I have numbers from 2021. Which will be 2 years ago. My next task is to figure out how we're gonna phase it in, and what it will look like over the course of those 3 years. So those aren't numbers I have right now.
This feels, I mean, just really gut feeling is like this just feels like a hit when Laura's had to take so many hits, and I'm not mad at you, Mary mm-hmm. Kay, at all. You know, it's not, mm-hmm. this feels like a gut punch
mm-hmm.
and not, maybe it's right, but it still hurts right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I, you know, Ellen, I completely agree with you that it is a gut punch. And I am, there's part of me that's sad that I'm the one who has to deliver it. But by the same token, my board and myself need to focus on library district residents. That's our responsibility. Yeah. And so I think that, you know, I think that that are trying to mitigate the effect by doing it over the course of 3 years. I mean, you're absolutely right. It is, and it probably feels unfair, because we're moving from a reimbursement to an allocation, but the board feels very strongly that, the board needs to improve library services or use our funding to improve library services for all of the libraries in the county. So you're right. It's a gut punch to Newport, not nearly as much to Lincoln City. The goal of this is so that every resident of the Lincoln County Library District has access to high quality library service without necessarily having to.
Totally. No, I get that. Mm-hmm. And I want all residents to have equal access. That's all good. It's just right now we've already taken so many mm-hmm. cuts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have so many cuts that we can't even keep our library open as much as what we would want to.
Mm-hmm.
And I just worry about our library and the lack of money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this, you know, I mean, I think that what some libraries do when they have when this kind of a situation occurs is, you know, they have a friends group or a foundation that can help carry them over, you know, the rough times, as it were. So that, you know, I don't know what else we could do. I think that we've been kicking this can down the road for a number of years. And I think that we really need to move forward with it. The board is very dedicated to making this happen.
So Mary Kate, could you tell them what the amount would be if you implemented it this year? Because I think everyone needs to understand that when they hear 30,000, they think that's something that the foundation could make up. But if they heard the figure, if it was implemented this year, they would know that our foundation couldn't make it up and that we're going to have to start accepting a loss of services at the Newport Library in order for there to be a gain of services elsewhere. So we're going to have to just accept reality.
So I would say, and this is incredibly ballpark, and if you quote me on it, I won't deny it, but I will say it's ballpark. It would probably, if right now, it'd probably be about $110,000
every year.
No, well, it would be. It would be $110,000 less
each year.
Right now, the city of Newport gets about $350,000 from the district. So based on the new formula, it would go down by about $110,000. And the other thing that I think, you know, I'm not trying to sugarcoat it or anything, but we had two funding models, and we did three scenarios for each model, and the one that we selected was the one that had the least impact on Newport.
Right, but Newport's still being impacted vastly more than any other library. I mean, you're talking about 8,000 difference from Lincoln City, which is something that a friends group could make up. So the impact on Newport is like tenfold of anyone else.
Yeah. Karen?
A resident of Waldport. I have to admit, one of the reasons, I mean, when I moved to Oregon, I moved to Waldport. And one of the reasons that I actually got a library card in Newport other than Waldport is because Waldport has not much. And Newport has so much more in terms of availability of new stuff. I mean, I go to Waldport and I'm on their board, but they don't have much money in Waldport. And I mean, I agree, Newport has taken a big hit, but I think a lot of people from the surrounding areas go to Newport because their local library doesn't have much frequently. Would you agree, Mary Kay? I mean,
yeah. Yeah, I mean that's really, I mean, that's kind of the crux of what the board is trying. The board, and I'm just going to be really brutal here. The board doesn't care about residents of Newport Library Service. That's not the board's responsibility. The board's responsibility is the taxpayers of Lincoln County Library District. So yes, you're absolutely right. Again, the rich get richer, and because they've been spending more, it was based on circulation and it was on expenditures. So those two things boosted it pretty high. Stormy?
Yeah. So I have a couple questions, and
okay.
You guys probably know the answers because you've been involved in this longer than me. But so my first question just has to do with the fact that Walport, and I believe it's Yahat, get taxpayer dollars, whereas the other ones don't. Is that
Walport and Sillette?
Walport and Sillette. So why is that not consistent throughout the county? Why are there
that,
two?
That, my friend Stormy, is an incredibly good question. So I think that the, okay, so this occurred in 1988,
okay,
which was, you know, a millennia ago.
Yeah, right. Absolutely.
And I think that when the district, I think, this is what I think happened. I think that when the district, when the county had a library system, there was a county library system, and this was very common in the 80s in Oregon, when county libraries would have to close because of funding reductions. And
right.
So a lot of libraries would then become a district.
Okay.
So what happened here is there was Newport, Driftwood, Lincoln City, and Toledo. And Toledo had a quite a bustling and going concern library at that point. And it was, you know, the community was having a better time than they're having now. But
right.
But I think what happened was those three libraries became the service providers. And then shortly after the tax levy passed, Depot Bay and Walt joined the district. They annexed to the district.
Okay.
So I mean, so that is in, you know, is why Sillette and Walport are now, you know, are member libraries, and Depot Bay doesn't have a library, So,
okay. So thank you for that. So I have a second part. I have another question, which is, you know, I totally get bringing the quality up to a certain standard and having everyone be served on an equal basis.
Mm-hmm.
But if there are certain libraries that are really sort of carrying that load, does it make sense to allocate money to the ones that aren't and maybe even can't? Like, I just don't get that part of it. Like,
mm-hmm.
I understand wanting to have a library in all the major communities, but honestly, like, I live in Toledo. I never go to the Toledo Library because they kind of suck, but I probably wouldn't go to them anyway. I mean, I would go to the bigger library that has all the sources. Why can't we allocate more money to the two or three libraries in the county that are really doing a great job and just up their offerings instead of allocating money to those that maybe aren't even going to be able to with more funding? Like, what is that, just the way that it is with government? Every town has to have an offering, or do we close a couple down and give more money to the ones that remain?
I think Stormy, I mean, that's a very valid question. And I think that my response to that would be that it's an equity issue.
Okay.
Because it is very easy for some people to come to Newport. And it is my biggest concern, and I will be very honest with you, I'm not as worried about adults, but I'm worried about kids.
Okay.
And so that, you know, and I hope and I intend that one of the things that we'll be doing with all of this is that the district administrator, which is me, will be working with those libraries. So it's not, I am not a firm believer in just throwing money and saying, you know, fix this. I think that that's going to require me working with those libraries, but also with the partner libraries working with those libraries, working as a team. Mm-hmm. And we really need to get a common system. I mean, once we have a common system, that's going to make a huge difference.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I completely get what you're saying, Stormy, but it really, it is the board and myself believe that it's an equity issue.
Okay. I just feel like, you know, looking at the strategic plan just for Newport, and I'm not privy to any of the other libraries, but, you know, there are pretty aggressive goals with pretty reduced resources, both from a body count as well as a financial, you know, sort of resources. And it just seems like, how are those things going to be realistic and be able to be accomplished when so much is being taken away and so much is being reallocated? And, you know, mm-hmm. I really don't mean to be a bitchy person who's whining.
But it's okay. This is a safe space.
So, I mean, I'm sure every library in the district is feeling the same kinds of pressure and the same kinds of whatever, but, you know, I'm not involved with any of the other libraries.
Absolutely. No, you're I completely
rationalize that.
Yes.
And
that's one of the things, you know, as we were phasing it in over 3 years, Waldport was a particular concern to me because I don't want to hand them a chunk of change. You know, we need to ease into it.
Right.
And we also need to help the city government understand that this doesn't mean they should diminish their support.
Right.
Mary Kay,
you're absolutely right.
Go ahead, Yvonne, you had your hand up.
Okay, so I tend to think in a very visual checklist box number manner.
Mm-hmm.
Assuming is, and I really appreciate the devotion here to equity, absolutely, because you're right, there will be folks in communities that will not be able to access resources simply because of the inability to travel.
Mm-hmm.
10 miles might be 20 miles, but still that could be a hindrance. So what I'm trying to envision the improvements that the additional funding would provide, I'm thinking, and I'm assuming, so I'm just asking for confirmation, programming, outreach, the mechanics of carrying that out, which would be things like staffing and vehicles, increasing a collection, tailoring a collection towards a particular interest that might be lacking. So that's kind of where I'm trying to picture is so the funding becomes available, and then what happens, because we could say, well, Newport is fancy, they have a 3D printer. Mm-hmm. We have a printer in every library, and then that increases our chance of hitting the target. Or is it more working on the foundation of the system there, which would be things like programs in-house, the staffing to support it, and the vehicles to carry it out of the four walls that they're sitting in, that sort of thing. So I guess that's what I'm asking for.
What I'm envisioning is increased outreach. I'm envisioning, buying more new materials so they don't have to go to the Newport Public Library. Mm-hmm. You know, there's those programming, additional programming, having staff for additional programming. I mean, staff, you know, I think you all know that at a library, staff is golden. You have to have staff to get things done. So I'm not looking at, and I love 3D printers and everything, but I'm really looking at in improving basic services.
Okay.
And not kind of, you know, flashy. Again, I love 3D printers, but Waldport doesn't need a 3D printer, I don't think. Or they can get a grant for it, which is what Newport did.
Right. You know. Right. Okay. I was assuming it had to do with more of the architecture inside that makes it all move, really. Mm-hmm. At a human level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Go ahead, Stormy.
But that seems like it's bringing it down to the lowest common denominator. The example of the 3D printer in Walport, like, they should, why aren't they deserving of the same things? And if it's about equality and equality of what's available at the various, you know, libraries, it seems like in this situation, it's bringing it down as opposed to raising it up. And that may just be my weird, skewed way of looking at things, but I don't really get that. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand why, and maybe that's fine. Maybe it is like you need to bring up the basic stuff in all the libraries to a certain level, but then that means that there are sacrifices to be made. I mean, is that fair? Is it like the lowest common denominator that plays across all locations?
I don't like to think of it as the lowest common denominator. I think of it as of basic services.
Okay.
And I would say that, you know, one of the things to give you an example of what I would rather see. And I, you know, I'm not in charge of those libraries, so yeah, I can't right. tell them what to do.
Right.
But I would much rather see a Hoopla subscription in Waldport or
yeah.
Toledo
yeah.
than a 3D printer.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I think that there, you know, you can look at it as the lowest common denominator, or kind of the way I like to think of it is we're raising everybody's boat.
Gotcha. Okay.
So,
although the residents of Newport yeah. are most likely going to lose Hoopla because that is the first thing that is always on the budget to get cut because it is very expensive. So mm-hmm. just to make sure I'm understanding this, Mary Kay, you're coming as the messenger and taking a lot of arrows, which you're doing graciously, and I appreciate, but this decision has been made, right? So we need to yeah. accept that this is the future for at least the next few years until this is reevaluated, correct?
That's correct.
And the other thing is, while you can advocate to these other libraries how they spend their money, just like the Newport Public Library, we spend the money how we want to. Walport mm-hmm. can choose to spend their money however they see fit. I'm happy to hear that Karen's on their board. I know they'll have great guidance, but really you can advocate, but it's not up to you, correct, on how they spend their money.
Well, I think the other thing that we can remember here is that we can put accountability into the contract. We can build accountability into the contract that we have with each of those cities.
And contracts happen later?
Pardon?
Contracts are going to come in June or something, did you say?
Yes. Yeah. The contract will have to be signed before they get money, before anybody gets money.
Has the board already established that they're going to have stuff like that in the contracts, or is that just...
Oh no, that is a key issue, is to have, and I don't want it to sound like we're going to tell libraries what they have to do. There are standards. There are public library standards that have been created by the profession, by the Oregon Library Association, and there are minimum criteria that have been established by the state libraries. So there are professional criteria that we will say to the libraries, you need to report to us how you're doing and what you're doing to get this money. So yes, it's their accountability is a big issue with the board.
But at the end of the day, people are going to be able to have access to more books in their own library, but access to less books overall, because if Newport is unable to continue to develop their collection, they're going to buy the best sellers and stuff like that. It is more other books that are more unique that the entire county is going to lose access to because Newport won't be able to pay for them.
Well, I would say that one of the things that this will provide us with an opportunity for, and again, having two integrated library systems is a travesty. And we need to share a system between all five libraries. Mm-hmm. And we are working on that. And once that occurs, I think that larger systems do an excellent job of cooperative collection development. And Karen, didn't you work at a pretty large library mm-hmm. system? Mm-hmm. And so the thing is that I think that when we have a shared system, we can all work together to say, you know, maybe this library focuses on this and that library focuses on that. The other thing is some of the smaller libraries have extraordinarily good special collections or focused collections. Toledo has, they have the genealogy collection for Lincoln County, essentially. The Celeste Library has an excellent Native American collection. So, and then the other interesting thing is there's when there's a shared system, there's always the concern that the smaller libraries will suck everything out away from the larger library. And what actually happens is that the smaller libraries are buying things and not having as many people check them out so that the larger libraries become net borrowers. So I think that the way I'm looking at it is that we're really doing this as a system, and we need to focus on doing it as a system. And I think that that's where I'm coming from, is that we can no longer be five individual libraries. We need to be working more closely together.
Mary Kay, am I understanding you that you're hoping that this additional money will allow those libraries who are not on Ocean Books or whatever our system is to join our system, or are all the libraries looking at buying a new system?
So here's the situation. The situation is that there was an ugly divorce in 2012 when Driftwood, Newport, and Tillamook took their toys, and Toledo, Waldport, Celeste, and three community colleges took their toys and went separate. They separated, divorced. So what we're doing right now, one of the things that I have that I'm doing at the district level is I got an LSTA grant, Library Services and Technology Act grant, from the State Library to hire a consultant to do a feasibility study of what is our best approach for a shared system. And the bottom line for me is that the five libraries in Lincoln County will have a shared system. We may have additional libraries. Tillamook may join us. Other libraries may join us. But once we have those five libraries on the same system, that means that we can get something to you tomorrow, which is not the case between all five of the libraries now, if it's available. You know, if it's not available, you can't get it tomorrow. So I don't know if one will join the other, but my goal, and I believe Laura, help me here, because I think that you agree. I think that Kirsten agrees.
We all want to be back together, you guys. And it's a really hard thing to explain to people who are coming new to town, and they come in and they're wanting to sign up for a library card, and they want to know why we don't all share the same catalog, mm-hmm. and why they can't look and see what's in Waldport, Waldport or Celeste or in Toledo. And it's something that'll provide better service to all residents of Lincoln County for us to be on the same ILS system. I know this is very discouraging for you to hear this. I've I've been waiting for this conversation to happen so you guys can hear it out of Mary Kay's mouth, but we've had to go through these meetings so you had an understanding of where we stood. I couldn't say anything to you before because I didn't have all the information, and she has all the facts with everything. I've been having conversations with the State Library, Oregon Library Association, the Ford Family Foundation. I'm throwing everything out there and seeing what sticks, and some of the stuff is sticking just because we have to come up with a plan.
But okay. See, to me, this sounds like a double gut punch that we're going to lose $100,000 and be asked to pay for a new system so all the libraries can be joined together.
We would
because I was on the board in 2012, and that was very expensive to switch systems.
So, Mary Kay, do you want to say something, and then I'll chime in?
I do want to say something. That the thing about library integrated library systems, the catalog and all of that, is that there have been some amazing moves forward since 2012. And there is currently a system that the Chinook is on, that the three smaller libraries are on, that we pay for five libraries to be on that, we pay $20,000 a year. Laura pays $40,000 a year.
We paid more. It was like $52,000 this last year, and I had to ask for additional budget allocations for it. So it would actually be a savings for us if we came back together, if everything goes like it's supposed to. But that cost keeps going up with the ILS system. So that's always something I have to argue for when it comes to budget season about why I need more money to go towards this particular budget line, because the cost goes up for what we use for Sierra every year. And if you're dealing with budget reductions, you have to find ways that you can save money, but you're also serving the greater community. And then we're also trying to provide better service to all Lincoln County residents. So when she says that, she's not saying that they're gonna pay for it right now, we're just investigating it right now and seeing if it's feasible for us to be able to do it. But when the time comes, we'd actually save money for Newport. It wouldn't be, the fact that we pay as much money as we do is kind of crazy. It's expensive, really, really expensive for an ILS system. And we have the smallest portion compared to the other two libraries.
Well, I have a lot more questions about that, but we've already been at this for an hour. So yeah. Are there any other questions for Mary Kay tonight? And maybe then we should... I see Melly has a question, then maybe we should wrap it up and process a little bit and maybe ask Mary Kay back when we've had a chance to work through it. Melly, go ahead.
So my question is to Mary Kay. I'm curious, when you mentioned net borrowers, is it possible that each library in this new transition has a focus to where then it could then be interexchanged once we go together. And so we kind of each have a little piece of the nugget.
Yes.
Has there been dialogue about that?
Those are the kinds of things that you probably have realized this by now, but things move very slowly in libraries, very slowly. And so that, you know, as we're deciding when is the new integrated library system, those are the kinds of questions that we'll be talking about. Those are the kinds of issues. And that's what we call shared collection development. And so essentially it's, you know, this library is going to focus on this. This library is going to focus on this. And we can, if we have a shared system, we can do that. So you're absolutely right. That's what we're looking at long term.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I am sorry I have to be the one to deliver the gut punch. I know that this is discouraging. I wish that we had taken care of this years ago, rather than having to take care of it now, because it does feel very difficult. And I know it's very difficult for Laura. And so thank you for listening. Thank you for being civil. Not that I'm a bit surprised that you aren't all very, very civil. And again, thank you for doing the hard work of being, you know, being on the advisory committee. And I cannot thank Laura enough for her support of this project.
I had a lot of freakouts on Mary Kay during the meetings, huh, Mary Kay? And I had a lot of freakouts during the board and was asking a lot of the questions that you guys are in the meetings, and I didn't really hold back. So you should know I proudly represented Newport.
She represented very, very well. And the board, my board, really appreciated it because it was very valuable. So yes, I would love to come back.
Thank you, Mary Kay.
I will talk to you all.
I'll touch base with you after, okay?
Okay, bye.
Bye, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys want to take a minute and take a breath before we move back into the librarian's report?
Wow, I'm just going to say wow. Wow, I better get my hand down too.
There's a lot. And we talked to Spencer this morning, like Mary Kay said, and he had questions, and he's going to write up his thoughts to share with Mary Kay for the board, her board. And then she's coming to this, we're on the city council work session in February. And my hope is if we can get everything worked out for her to be able to attend the foundation meeting next month, she can talk to the foundation about what's going on too. But I couldn't have these conversations with you guys until we had everything had gone through. And this was our first meeting, so I wanted to get her on the agenda with you.
Sure.
I'm throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks, okay? Knowing that we have this challenge that's coming up.
But I do think that we all need to accept there's going to be a loss of services, and we as an advisory group need to start thinking and assessing to Laura on what our thoughts are on if we have to give something up, what is it? Is it closing the library a couple days a week? Is it giving up programming? I mean, I just think that tough choices are coming, mm-hmm. and that we all ought to start thinking for ourselves, what is our priorities, so we as a group can come together and help Laura through this, mm-hmm. and let her know what the community values.
Yep.
Because I want all these things, right? Like, so you all don't know this, but the foundation received a very large donation of $15,000 to keep Hoopla for another year. So the community out there has their own project. So Hoopla is actually safe, at least for this year.
This next fiscal year, and that's the biggest money that we allocate towards something in our collection development, like budget line, is for Hoopla. And so when you're going through a budget cut and you're thinking about $30,000, there's half of it right there towards Hoopla. And then where do you take it from other places? When we went through COVID, I mean, I went through everything, you guys, when we went through this. And so now I'm looking at other areas where I can ask the foundation for some support, where I can be applying for grants with the Ford Family Foundation, where I can get additional support from Oregon Humanities, from ALA, from PLA, from OLA, the State Library. And I've been having these conversations the last couple months just to prepare ourselves moving forward to know what we have, okay?
Right.
Because we have to be ready for battle.
So I'm trying to brainstorm here, so just bear with me on this one. Number one, we get a lot of student teachers in our community. And there may be those individuals going in a direction of library studies, or I'm not sure what the title is, I'm sorry. The other one is, I'm sure because of our community and our association with Hatfield Marine Science Center, maybe there's something in collaborative with oceanography or marine life, and then the Forest Service as well, with our state parks as well. We could have, maybe that might be our focus, I don't know, but working in the Forest Service, we did a lot of collaborations with schools, but at the same time, we provided the resources for the libraries. So I'm wondering if that's a possibility at all.
So
looking at other venues that we're not traditionally working with.
Workforce Oregon. So seeing if there's like opportunities for grants to be able to do like a pathway for high school students and getting a grant for something like that. AmeriCorps, you guys know who volunteers. Those are questions I have to have, conversations I have to have with our human resources director to see if that's even a possibility. If that's something that we could pursue, because that is something, I mean, that's a viable option. I mean, those are conversations I've been having with the State Library, too, and work with Workforce Oregon. And I've been on these phone calls talking to people about grants to see what we have. Mm-hmm. So these are those things that are being thrown out there, seeing if they're going to stick. And now the other conversations are going to be had with some of the people here within the city to see if we actually can do that. Because there's a financial, you have to track those kinds of things on grants, mm-hmm. and then recording that. They're very specific. What they would be asked to, and then I have to know if it's something that we can even do within our local government too.
Right.
But they're all viable options, Melly. It's just they have to be investigated a little bit more, and I need a little bit of time mm-hmm. to be able to do that.
Karen, you had a comment or question.
I know we need to move on. I agree with you, Gretchen, that we really have to tune into what the community wants. I did work in California libraries and for a long time, and I remember when Proposition 13 hit and our funding just cratered. And I mean, we built back from that, but we also discovered we have to be careful. The community, at least in California, the message was just keep the door open. Even if it's all volunteers, just keep the door open. So we do have to balance things in terms of being a professional library that meets standards versus public expectations about what we provide. And I know you know all that, but the public's going to say, just keep the door open.
Then when you have volunteers that are coming in too, that's a double-edged sword when you start bringing that in. And I came from an area, it wasn't the library I worked in, but in Grants Pass, where they used volunteers for a very, very long time. And then it was a hard thing when the director was trying to get people in positions, when she's arguing for that, because why would you pay somebody for that when you have volunteers? You're losing part of that education when you have professional librarians, right? You can't have somebody who's a doctor go be a police officer, right? You can't have a team.
I know this is hard for you to hear, Laura, and we've had this argument before, but I agree 100% with Karen. I'm not asking you to do volunteers, but during COVID, the word I have heard on the street, anyone that knows that I'm the library board, they want to know, when are we going to be open 7 days a week?
We
need to prioritize keeping the doors open.
Keeping the doors open.
And if that means we have to axe Hoopla, which you all know is dear to my heart, you know, I am going to vote keep the doors open over Hoopla. Personally.
And the reality of the situation is that we're not going to be able to go 7 days a week, you guys. We're barely staying open with 5 days a week when you're dealing with a hiring situation. And then you have a pandemic on top of it.
The hard part, Laura, again, we're getting off on a rabbit trail. And so the hard part is people in the community see librarians in there when the doors aren't open. And they don't understand why people can be there at work at 8 a.m. and they're not working the hours that it would take to keep the library open.
It's because there's
a lot of pushback.
And I'm sure you do. There's a lot of stuff that we have to do when the doors are not open to the public, that behind the scenes things that you can't do when you have the doors open. Cataloging a lot of times has to be happen at their desks. Program, being able to plan for programs, being able to pull statistical reports, being able to process books. A lot of that stuff happens behind the scenes, and a lot of people don't understand that unless you guys have come through and you've seen it. Stormy, you've seen it because you volunteer at the library.
I see it every week. But I totally get what everyone's saying.
And
it's like a rock and a hard
hard place.
I'm in a rock and a hard place with this, and we're trying to do the best that we can with the hurdles that we have. Yeah. And there's no right way that's going to make everybody happy. We're just trying to do the best that we can with what we have in front of us.
Right.
And it's right now, we have the 5 days a week. Like, I wish we could go 7 days a week. Is that realistic for where we're at right now? It is not. Is it going to be realistic in the future? Maybe, but right now we can't. I mean, it was tough to get it open for Saturdays. I mean, we've had conversations for months about Saturdays. There was a lot of other variables that the public doesn't understand. They just want you to be able to do it. Well, you're dealing with a pandemic and you're dealing with safety protocols and you're having to have a cleaner come in and clean. They have to have staffing on their side. They're also short-staffed. They have to have training. You have to have a security officer. They have to go through training too. And they're dealing with staffing issues at the same time.
So just looking at the latest strategic plan and all the updates and the deadlines and the timelines and everything, if those things have to be revised and scaled back, cut back because of the current situation, is there any kind of answering to someone who is it just us?
I would bring it back to you guys. What would happen is I would bring it back to you. I had city council work session last week and I talked to them about the strategic plan and what was going on. And there was a similar question with a budget situation. Right. Our strategic plan was put in place with the staffing that we had, okay? Like, because you don't know, we didn't know if we're going to get those positions, okay? If we have to bring it back to them and back to you guys to revise, I will bring it back to you to revise. I'm tracking the goals and how we're doing. So if we have to create new metrics with where we are at, it'll come back to you to revise. And then it'll go to city council to revise. It's supposed to be a plan, okay? It's nothing that's set in stone that you have to do that. It's supposed to give you a path moving forward. So if it has to be changed, the plan will be changed.
Okay.
It can always be changed, okay? So I don't want you guys to stress out about that because we can always change it. And we're tracking it to see how things are going. And if it's not working, then it'll come back to you. And then I'll be having conversations with you guys about what's not working. And then I'll be having conversations with city council and telling them the same thing. And then we'll revise it.
Right.
So at this point, we're at 6:30 and I'm going to have to leave at 7. So my suggestion is that we jump ahead and vote on any policy or any votes that we need to take tonight, Laura. That way, if people need to drift off at their own times, they feel free to do so. But right now we have a quorum. So what I believe we don't need to vote until 4C. Are you in agreement with that, the hot spots policy? I know I'm jumping this on you.
Yeah, hot spots. Hot spots, and then the loan periods and renewals are the two policies that I would need a vote on from you guys tonight.
Okay, so why don't we go ahead and jump ahead to that? If after the votes you need to take your leave, feel free to do so, and we'll be happy to see you back in March. So for number 2.6, hotspots policy revisions. Do you guys have that in front of you?
Yeah.
Yes? Okay, great. Laura, why don't you give us the nutshell version of this? And I'm going to try to find it here.
So we looked at the hotspot revision, hotspots. You guys can see it, the tracking changes in red. I tried to put that in there so you could just see what was going on. We reworded a couple things because where it was crossed off, it said these hotspots loan for 2 weeks with no renewal allowed. We reworded it and said hotspots are available for a 2-week loan period without renewal. And then internet, the only reason that was fixed is just because when I moved things over. But those were the only changes. We just reworded that little section just because the wording was really funny with it. That was the only change with this policy since the last time I brought this to you guys.
Are there any comments or questions regarding this rewording or thoughts on how it's been reworded? Okay, do we have a motion?
I think it sounds better. I moved we accept the revision to the hotspots.
So Karen revision. Is a motion to accept the hotspot revision, and do we have a second? You can just raise your
second.
Yeah, Yvonne seconds. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay, Ellen, that passes unanimously. So moving on to 2.3, loan periods and renewals.
Okay, so loan periods and renewals. You guys will see the changes in red. I added in including library equipment that is part of our Library of Things collection. That was important, especially because we have items that are in our circulating materials that are going to be part of our Library of Things. So I wanted to include that, and that was the only change on this policy.
Any comments or questions regarding adding Library of Things to the checkout time?
I would motion to accept that.
So Ellen's moving to accept it. Do we have a second? You can just raise your hand. We have lots of seconds. Ellen, I'm going to pick Maddie for you to put in the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Ellen, that passes unanimously as well. And it looks like those are the only votes that I see, Laura. So whatever on this that you would like to focus on next, I'm comfortable with. What do you think is the most important for people to hear?
I want to go back to the librarian's report just so I can give you guys a couple of staff updates, and then we can move on. You have that in front of you, but I just want to be able to tell you guys. Sarah Vaughn, who was our BBSI temporary employee, is now part of our library team, and she has accepted Jeff Ingram's old position, 24 hours. So that's a good thing. And then we have the bilingual community resource specialist and the librarian one positions are both posted. If you guys know anybody who you think would be interested and would be a great fit, would meet qualifications, please encourage them to apply. One of them doesn't close until the 15th and the other one closes on the 17th. And then the other thing I want to tell you guys is that the library sold the 2002 Ford Windstar cargo van for a little over $3,000, and we were no longer using this because we had the library Prius, and it was less and less, so it was just sitting there, and that's not a good use of library resources if something's just sitting there, and so we sold it because we weren't using it. We didn't have a need for it because we have the Prius. And so that money will be coming back to the library, and I'll be allocating where it needs to go in the near future. So I want to tell you guys that. And then you guys see a bunch of pictures about Libros for Oregon. I don't have to go into a lot of detail, but I wanted you guys to see some of the pictures. It was very different this year going to Guadalajara. Our books should be arriving in the next couple of weeks, and I will let you guys know when they come in if you guys want to come check them out. With that. And then that's pretty much with the librarian's report on that part. And then you guys have probably looked at the statistical information. I don't know if you have any questions about any of the Ocean Books statistics from November or December. I wanted to share that with you guys just so you can see how things are going.
And you forgot to mention that we won the food drive against the Rec Center.
I did forget that. We won the food drive against the Rec Center. That's a very important thing to mention.
Yes.
Because we're very competitive. We're very competitive. We did very good with that.
We crushed them.
We did.
We doubled them.
We did. We brought in 974 pounds of food for food share and then 113 pounds of pet food. And we're hoping to be able to do another kind of drive, but maybe Parks and Rec join up, and then we compete against the fire department and the police department.
That'd be a good idea.
So we're trying to have those conversations to see if we could do something like this again, and it could it'd be great for the community, I think, as a whole, too. The one thing that's not in here that I wanted to let you guys know is I went to the high school on Friday and got to talk to him about Career Exploration Month, and Gretchen's daughter was there, and I had 8 of the high school kids that came in and wanted to know about what it takes to be a librarian. And most of them have come in to pick up library card volunteer applications because they want to become volunteers, which is kind of cool. They're really cute.
Yeah.
Really cute and exciting.
This is my non-volunteer daughter that came.
She was the first one that was in there. It was really cool. So I was like, I got to tell Gretchen.
That's me.
Because I know we're trying to be watchful of time. I got notice yesterday from the EDGE assessment, which is one of those things that was in our strategic plan, looking at technology and looking at how we're tracking programming and data and seeing how we could do a better job with that. And so we applied to be able to participate in both of these cohorts. And it's EDGE assessment's very expensive. It could be upwards of $30,000 to participate. And we got accepted into both of the cohorts. So one of them is the digital inclusion action cohort, and that's going to be looking at digital equity, understanding broadband access, determining device access, assessing digital literacy, assessing community needs, and then how do you pull that information and put it into action to help your strategic goals become a reality? And so that's one of them, and that'll be meeting every month on a Thursday starting January 27th. So I'll be participating in those conversations with other Oregon libraries. And then we also got into the data fluency cohort, which is part of EDGE assessment. And so it looks at what discovering the basics of data fluency and how to strengthen your library staff's comfort and confidence with using data to create evidence-based planning, which is what we need to do. Okay, these are two of those things I threw at the wall that we're gonna have happen, okay? Looking at community data and identifying community needs. So, and then through a national and local data sources, and then how do you use that data to bolster your library decision-making, which is gonna be very important based off of what you guys found out tonight. And then looking at delving into data, library data, that describes library operations like computer sessions, number of activities, to identify trends and improve customer service. Program data, which you learn how to discuss how to use data on program participation, such as a patron experience and impact. Refine existing programs, and then defining outputs and outcomes for library programs that you can begin implementing. So when we're doing programs, why are you doing it? What are you trying to get out of that program? Because we don't want to just plan programs to plan programs, right? You want to make sure it's fitting into the overall mission of the library and it fits into your strategic plan. And then using that data to tell a story and how to develop effective tools to share your story with local government leaders and partners and develop new ways to communicate your library's impact. Which is also sharing results from this EDGE progress snapshot. So you guys will be able to see what this looks like. And I'm going to be sharing this with you as I'm going through. And then I'll have a capstone presentation that'll put all this stuff into action. So these are a couple things that we got into that I'm really, really excited about. When the emails came through, I was hooting and hollering in my office because these are going to help us moving forward.
You mean you have to have something other than we planned Harry Potter night because we like Harry Potter and we thought it was fun?
I do. And when you guys know, like there's going to be tough questions and I'm going to get questions from city council and I'm going to be getting questions from you. I want to be able to answer that and tell you why we're doing that.
Well, Harry Potter night's very cheap.
I love Harry Potter night. I am not.
You may have an anonymous donor to keep it.
That's good. But I wanted to tell you guys that because this is going to play a part into what the steps moving forward, okay? But I wanted to get through this so I could tell you guys that. And there's a couple other things that I have out there that I'm just waiting to find out if we get it. And there's a couple other grant applications I'm going to be applying for just to see what we can get because we don't know unless we try, right?
And go, Laura, go. Really?
Laura, do you have any idea what percentage of Newport citizens use the library?
When we looked at the car data, it was like 44%, and we're trying to increase that. And it's gone up quite a bit. It went up 13% last year during COVID, during the pandemic. And then Lily was looking at the statistical information for me more recently, and we're on track to get 13% again this year.
So that would be 60% total?
Yes, which is where we want to actually be by the end of the strategic plan. And we have things that we haven't fully implemented with that. That'll be coming into play in the next couple months over the next year. But you guys know we can't roll everything out the first year. You have to. I'm going to kill myself if I do that. That's too much. Right. I have a lot of energy, but that's too much.
Do we have any sense of how that compares to the other library community, the other libraries in town, city populations?
I don't know. I can tell you from where I came from, when I was in Jackson County, that percentage is significantly higher than what it was down there. And that was a goal that they were trying to go after. And they've had to readjust the goal several times just because of the pandemic. And then they made an even loftier goal than what we did. But I tried to make ours something that was realistic that we could go after.
I'm just curious if that was part of the considerations or if it even should be when we're looking at the allocations and the funding and stuff that's within our county.
I don't know what the other libraries are, but that's a good question, Stormy. I could find out. I can talk to Mary Kay and see if we could get that information.
I'm just curious. I don't want to add more work to your plate. I'm just curious if that was a factor at all in the discussions about funding and such.
Not at this point, but I'm sure it'll be one of those things that we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. The problem is, if you have nothing, people don't come.
Right.
But if you get something, people will come. So it's kind of a chicken and the egg thing.
Yeah, that's such a great feature. Yeah, absolutely.
And Laura, I mean, obviously you know this. The more people that come to the library and value the library and know what you do, the more they're going to advocate for you when we have to go out there and ask them for more money. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm afraid at some point we're going to have to ask people for more money.
Yeah.
I agree. And I think you're going to start seeing, because we're getting ready to go into budget season, it's getting ready to heat up. You're going to see those little infographics popping up, and you're going to see a lot of those advocacy pieces coming to play, especially on social media, on our website, in the library, and the like. So pay attention to that and let your friends know, like, what's going on, because we're definitely going to be pumping that up a little bit because we're dealing walking into budget season. Do you guys have any questions regarding any of the statistical information? Because I sent everything to you. Regarding the Oceanbrook circulation information, the Wi-Fi statistics.
The only thing I'd be interested in knowing about the statistics is just based on our conversation tonight of possibly breaking off from all these other libraries and rejoining the libraries in our own community. The way I look at the statistics, and they've always been explained to me, is that we actually get a lot of materials from Tillamook, Rockaway, Pacific City, Manzanita, especially just based on my own experience. Tillamook and Pacific City have extensive young adult collections, and I know that my kids get books from those libraries all the time. And so I would be interested in knowing that information if we're actually talking about splitting from them.
We would want to stay with them. That's kind of what that's the conversation, is we want to keep Tillamook and Tillamook. We want to play with Tillamook. We have a good relationship with Jerry, who's the new library director who took over from Sarah. We have monthly meetings, try to have monthly meetings. And Kirsten, the three of us definitely are united front. We want to stay together, but we also want to join rest of the libraries, so that we can provide better service overall. But that would mean like the Toledo and the Waldport and the Siletz libraries would also have access to the materials that are up in Tillamook at the same time. So no, there's nothing. No, we want to stay together as far as that goes.
Great.
We all work together very well. let me know if you have questions about the Wi-Fi statistics. They're already like way higher than where they were this time last year, which is really cool to see how many people are actually taking advantage of our Wi-Fi. Let me know if you have any questions about that. And then I gave you guys reference tally statistics just so you guys see what was going on for this fiscal year and where we stand. And I'll keep giving you this information, and I want to do a year, like be able to show you where we were this last year. So that's something I'll be bringing to you guys in the next couple months just so you can see how we're comparing to previous years too. But part of the stuff we didn't track the same way, so the information may be a little bit different. I just want you guys to know that too.
Thank you, Laura, for your extensive inclusion of all the pictures and awesome stuff about summer reading. I appreciate you including that. I don't know if you guys have any questions about the rest of the packet, or we could use our time to direct in what you guys are interested in. So is there anything in the rest of the packet that you guys want to highlight or ask Laura about?
The strategic plan update, this was what was presented to City Council during our work session, and you guys will see stuff that's blue. That's just tracking what we've been doing, and some of them are like a reddish orange, and those are things that we're working on right now, and just reiterating that we can't roll all of this stuff out at the same time. I will pull my hair out if that's the case. You don't want to see me bald. So I don't know if you have any questions regarding the goals. Regarding any of this stuff, let me know, okay? I try to be very thorough and give you guys lots of information, and then so you guys
are very thorough.
Just ask me.
I was just gonna say you're amazing. I mean, just blowing me away. I just thank you for everything you do.
Thank you for being on the board. One thing I will tell you guys is the 2022 summer reading program is going to be Read Beyond the Beaten Path.
Oh, nice.
So this might be the time to ask this. Laura, in the past, the board and the foundation have had the opportunity to buy summer reading shirts if they wanted one. Is that an opportunity the board will have this year?
I would hope so. Okay. I think that would be probably a question that we put out to you guys, and then you just need to let us know. Then we have to figure out how we're going to handle payment with it.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't see why we couldn't.
In the past, I think we've just paid cash or check for the amount so it was of no cost to the library. So you'll just send that out in an email?
Yes.
All right, great.
Let me know if you want to get an early start on that at the schools.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I mean, we could kind of do it like the food drive, see how many, what grade levels, how many students we could get to join in and do it with the schools, compete with the schools of the same grade level, of course.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. We are competitive.
I can tell.
Yeah, Melly, I'll let Linda know. So then we could, Linda and Vanessa and Jan, who are our youth services team, I'll let them know that. I'll share that with them tomorrow.
Yeah, okay.
Do you guys have any questions for me regarding the summer reading report? Okay, I want to make sure you guys got graphics. Do you have any questions regarding any of the goal updates about where we stand? And they're broken down into each of the goals. And if you don't have questions now, please feel free to ask me. You guys, there's no bad questions. I appreciate that you're curious and you want to know.
Okay, well, I think that concludes it. Our meeting for tonight, I don't see any questions or comments from anyone. Our next meeting is in March, and I forgot to look up the date, so I will do that really quick here. So our next meeting is on March 9th at 5:15. I assume that we're still going to be